And we're back, guys. So welcome to yet another episode of the Greater Finance Daily. We bring you the latest from the ongoing crypto and fintech revolution. And I'm Alex, one of your hosts.
And I'm the other host, Gustav.
Good morning, Gustav. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm great. I was really tired when I woke up, but I'm much better now. And what about you? You have been at the CrossFit, right?
Yes, I'm doing my daily routine, CrossFit in the morning, waking up with cold shower, trying to be like the pros out there.
That's well, good. What's the day today? It's Thursday, 9th of September, right?
Correct, correct.
And it's a lot going on. Have you had a look at the market yet? I saw that the Bitcoin price is hovering around 46K now.
Correct, correct.
And Ethereum have gone up a little bit. But there are some winners in the altcoin market, and I went through a couple of them. Mina, IOST, I never heard about them actually. The Near, Algorand, we know more about Phantom, Elrond, Hedera, and of course Solana is continuing. It's crazy.
Yeah, what's crazy about that is the market cap is already quite high and pumping another 26%, while all the other big winners here, Ethereum and Bitcoin and even Cardano, is quite, nothing really happens there.
Exactly. But if we take a look at the topics today, we will talk a little bit about the Standard Chartered's cryptocurrency research report. What actually caused the dip, according to medias, Panamanian congressman presents bill to regulate crypto. Institutions dominate the DeFi market, according to a new report from Chainalysis. And PayPal acquired Japan's biggest buy now, pay later firm, that is called Paidly. And we've already been touching this. Solana continuing its rally. And blockchain games are the future. And lastly, we take a look at what Afterpay have been saying about potentially going into crypto. So,
sounds
a
exciting.
Lot of news today. Yes.
Yeah.
let's get started with the first one. There has been coming out a new report from Standard Chartered's cryptocurrency research team. Says that Bitcoin might reach 100K this year. Have you had a chance to have a look in the report?
Well, you shared it with me last night, so I actually had a brief look over it, and it looks quite interesting because from the report, they are saying that, as you mentioned there, Bitcoin is going to hit 100K either this year, late this year, or early 2022. But what's interesting here is that they foresee that it's going to be accompanied by a huge Ether spike in price. So they say that Ether is structurally valued at 26 to 35,000 already now, which is 10 times its current price. So they are quite bullish when it comes to Ethereum, especially.
Yeah. And of course, it's always interesting to read these kind of reports, but I'm also a bit skeptical because, I mean, it has gone up so much already, and now some analysts sitting and saying that it's going to double and triple and triple and 10 times more in Ether and so on. It makes me feel a bit more like maybe this is the top already. But yeah, we will see what happens.
Yeah, that's the dangerous when the sentiment in the market is getting bullish. I mean, that's when you should start to look at the other side. But you don't want to trade against the trend. So right now we are quite bullish. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I remember I bought a trading course when I first became interested in stocks and so on many years ago. And he always said that when the analyst starts to write things like this, this is when you're going to sell. And then and when the news media and so on say, it's like, is this the time to buy and so on? It's going to go triple, triple. That's the time to sell. And then when they write, it's doomed to die and so on, that's the time to buy.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I know I've been doing some trading recently. I'm following this guy from Chart Champions called Daniel, and he's like the best trader I've ever seen. And he's like literally hitting all the trades correctly. And he always call out the YouTubers, because they are like, when we are at 65K Bitcoin, they are saying like, oh, we're going to pump, we're going to go to 100K, 200K, yada, yada, yada. Just what the retail investor wants to hear. And then when we were at 30K, they were saying like, we're going to go to 10K, you better sell, yada, yada, yada. So they were literally FOMOing either or FUDing, depending on the sentiment in the market, while they should have acted the totally opposite way.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we need to jump to the next one. What caused the dip according to Medias? Have you understood what they say? I've read some things about that there were a lot of very high leverage positions that were liquidated.
Yeah, I mean, they always try to find some kind of cause to this liquidation events that happen. But at the end of the day, it's what they say here in the report is that the cryptocurrency crumbled under the weight of excessively leveraged bullish bets. So they are literally FOMOing into trades with high leverage. And when price goes down a bit, they hit the stop loss and they get liquidated, basically. That's what I understand.
And that
from
causes these high fluctuations. And
yeah, because you have like, if you think about it, if you go long and you have a high leverage, you have the liquidation price quite low to your entrance. And if price just goes down a bit, then you have to cover your position, which basically means that you are selling your long, which puts further pressure down on the price. So that is like a circle that is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And at the end of the day, we're just dumping the price.
Yeah. Let's see what continues to happen here. I hope that Standard Chartered's research team are correct with their predictions. Next up is Panamanian congressman presents a bill to regulate crypto. What's that about?
Well, this is very interesting because Panama has introduced a bill to regulate the use of cryptocurrencies throughout the country. And the bill that was presented by Congressman Gabriel Silva on Tuesday night seeks to make Panama a country compatible with the digital economy, blockchain, crypto assets, and the internet. And the bill proposes that individuals in Panama or legal entities established in the country may freely agree to use cryptocurrencies as a means of payment for any civil or commercial operation not prohibited by the legal system. And the project also proposes that taxes, fees, and other tax obligations may be paid using cryptocurrencies. So this is really big. And I think El Salvador was, of course, the country that started this movement. But what's important to understand here also is that in Panama, there is no enforced currency in its constitution. Although the US dollar has been used officially there since 1904, when a monetary agreement between the countries known as Taft Areas took effect. But at the end of the day, they are a dollarized country. They don't get any positives out of the fiscal policies that the United States are conducting, but they bear the burden of a higher inflationary society, and they are actually getting poorer by time by being tied to the dollar. So they are seeing a possibility here to maybe start something new, base their economy on cryptocurrencies. So it will be interesting to see if this bill comes into law as well as it did in El Salvador. What do you think, Gustav?
I don't think so much about this. It's just interesting, I think, and a bullish thing that see that many countries and Congress man and all those bills to regulate crypto. I think it's good for the industry. So let's hope that it continues this way and that many more countries will clarify regulations around crypto. That's good.
Yeah, I think they're looking for a political currency here that is not tied to the politics in the United States or any of the more major economies around the world. They want to be able to build their own societies.
Exactly. That's good. Next up, institutions dominate the DeFi market according to Chainalysis report. And Chainalysis is one of the bigger analysis firms that have, on-chain analysis and a lot of other analytics around blockchains. And they say that the decentralized finance, DeFi, market appears to no longer be the domain of retail actors alone, as the institutional investment footprint in the crypto market segment continues to attain more significant levels. And according to blockchain intelligence firm, to the guys at Chain Analysis, institutional investors played a major role in the adoption in Q2 of 2021. So it's really interesting to see that a lot of the bigger transactions in DeFi are actually made by institutions rather than retail investors. You have any takes on this, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, you have the maximalist, or the, what do you call them, the people who really loves crypto and go by the ethos of they don't want the institutional involvement here. But at the end of the day, that's where the majority of the money lies. And if you think about it, if institutional investor comes in and do the trading, if we think about decentralized exchanges, for example, and the decentralized nature of market making there, all of the people who provides liquidity, they are going to make even more money by institutional investors transacting a bigger amount of volume there. So I only think it's good for DeFi in general, and that it becomes a bit more legitimate in around the world, basically.
Of course, it's good. I mean, and who are all those maxis who don't want the institutions involved? That's crazy. That's like the voting crypto, against
the crypto ethos. The ones who came in early, many of them are quite skeptical. But I mean, of course, it's more money. It becomes more legitimized by having institutional players entering here as well. I think what they are against is the regulations of this industry. They want the free market. They want crypto to be for everyone. However, it seems like DeFi is going in two different directions. One is for the retail investors, and one is for the institutional investors. So I heard, I think Aave, they have something that is called ARK, which is their product for institutional investors. However, ARK is still going to be... The way forward for ARK is going to be decided by the token holders of Aave. So it's not going to be like the centralized institution or some kind of centralized team at Aave. They won't decide a roadmap, but it would rather be decided by the token holders themselves. So it's still in the hands of the token holders, which is quite positive. So it's not just centralized with a bunch of institutions taking this space forward.
Yeah, I understand that. And I mean, I still think that having institutions into this industry is both good in adoption and in pushing for more regulation. I don't see a future where, for some reason, crypto could avoid regulation when every single other industry in the history of the world can't do that. So we will see what happens.
Yeah, definitely.
Jumping over to our next topic is PayPal to acquire or acquired. They have at least tried now to acquire Japan's biggest buy now, pay later firm. It's called Paidly. I had actually never heard about Paidly, but I read about this. And this is actually Japan's biggest buy now, pay later firm or fintech. And I mean, we have almost been touching the topic buy now, pay later for every episode that we have been creating for the last few weeks. And it is a really interesting area. And now it just confirms again that it is probably the most hot or the hottest area in fintech these days. And the market just getting more crowded and crowded with competitors. Everyone's running to be the one that are winning the game of buy now, pay later. But at the same time, I don't really know what is new here, actually. We have, as you have been mentioning before, we have the credit cards, and it's forcing people who to consume that maybe can't really afford to consume that much, and then that will result in a debt and with the high interest rates and so on. So yeah, I see why or everyone is running for this business, but at the same time, it's not that hot of a business.
I see, but is it fair to say that Gustav is quite bullish on BNPL?
bullish. I mean, on the business model. It's just looking at Klarna and Afterpay and those companies. It's you don't have to believe in it. You have the fact that it's a great business if you want to have good revenue and so on. So yeah, we will see. Paidly was started in 2014, so it's a fairly young company and have 6 million registered users. So yeah, I guess it's a nice add in the PayPal army of nice and cool fintech companies that they have acquired. Should we jump over to our next topic?
Crypto gaming, yes, we should. Play to earn Gold Rush as Crypto Gaming Guild and CBD, not Central Bank Digital Currencies, but CBD, raise millions from VCs. Exactly. This is a company, I assume. So what's this all about, Gustav?
Yeah, and then we also have the Axie Infinity, Star Atlas, Avaguchi, and the ones you mentioned. And, I mean, this is just crazy how you see adoption in these games and people sitting in Philippines and India and farming in different ways, earning the in-game tokens, which are different cryptocurrencies that they can earn more money playing the game than what they do selling or working in on the labor market in their home countries. So this is really, really interesting to follow. And I've been thinking about playing some games for a while now. And I think that you and I, we should host some kind of live show on YouTube while we're testing out one of these games. Myself, I've been interested for some reason in this Star Atlas that is built on top of Solana. They have their own Star Atlas DAO and the Star Atlas token. And I would just like to understand more about this through playing the game. Actually, I think that's the best way to really see the value in how they use NFTs, how they use token, how you earn money in the game, and so on. I heard or read somewhere that you will get tokens each and every day in a way that you mine the token in the game. And it costs some money tokens to mine and so on. So I can just think of how I have been playing games when I was 13, 14 years old, and how you can make this a really, really addictive game when you involve money that you can directly take out and trade on an exchange digitally and so on. So I just wish that I was like 12 years old again and could play those games now. We'll see if it's as fun as I think it is.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool, Gustav. I mean, let's do the gaming session. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, we should do that. We should do that when we find some time. But our last topic of the day is, you could say it's another buy it now, pay later news, but it's Afterpay. I've said that they're absolutely keen to explore crypto when regulations are more clarified. And it was in a discussion where they said that they always want to follow their customers and the demand. And they clearly see that it's going towards crypto now, but they don't want to jump into anything that's not clarified regulatory in a regulator's perspective enough. And I mean, we just see that with the Coinbase CEO tweeting about sketchy SEC in the US that they forbid them from creating this lend product. And I see that Afterpay wouldn't like to become in that situation as well. And I totally understand that. So, but it's interesting that they say that, okay, we are going into the crypto industry as soon as regulators are, have catched up a little bit. Yeah, exactly.
We have to hope that SEC, they are listening to us right now, so they provide clear guidance.
Yeah. Well, Alex, well, do you have any final takes?
Yeah, I do have a final take. I just want to bring up some super interesting stuff before wrapping up here. And it's about central bank digital currencies as they are so exciting right now. And a global payment network called Roxy, they want to make Bitcoin hash rate the anchor of future central bank digital currencies. So as you know, central bank digital currencies program is, or Roxy's central bank digital currency program is primarily geared toward developing countries that is struggling with high inflation, fiscal imbalances, and foreign exchange volatility. Countries that have dollarized their economies have effectively handed over the monetary policy to the United States Federal Reserve, which itself creates new vulnerabilities. And as you know already today, global central banks are actively exploring central bank digital currencies, with countries such as China much further along the development curve, and actually our own country, Sweden, as well. However, most of these central bank digital currencies projects are focused on digitizing their fiat currencies for the purpose of streamlining access to legal tender, strengthening oversight and monitoring of transactions. On the other side, Roxy is developing a CBDC that is backed by a standardized unit of Bitcoin's hash rate. This is innovative. And this strategy could allow nations to adopt Bitcoin's sound money principles into their monetary policy, since the generation of reserves would be based on hash rate that rather than arbitrary decisions, this article mentions. So I think we see even more hype around this go get Bitcoin as the collateral or as the reserve currency. And I'm happy about it. And I'm very excited to see what's going to happen here. I'm talking a lot with some payment experts at my company, and they are more skeptical towards this, of course, and that's fine. So maybe the truth is somewhere in between.
Yeah, and I mean, we see those countries such as El Salvador, and we talked about Panama today and others. I think that many countries in the developing world, I think they would be interested in creating their own cryptocurrency or CBDC. And this is, of course, one interesting way to do it. We will see how this plays out and where in the world will be the first country that are really creating and adopting a CBDC. I mean, we have China, of course, but I don't know so much how but it would be really interesting to see like smaller countries in Africa and so on to adopt that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about how this structure will turn out to be. I think, like, as we see now in El Salvador, maybe they're going to have Bitcoin as the collateral, like as the gold standard, but the Bitcoin standard there, while China and the United States, etc., they will still have this kind of fiat-backed central bank digital currencies. So they go along with what we have right now, but digitalizing it a bit more and make it more programmable, while El Salvador and the poorer countries, maybe they have to tie their own central bank digital currencies to, for example, the Bitcoin hash rate, as they are talking about here. However, it's very exciting times ahead, and the central bank's digital currencies, they are young, but they are very exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, should we round off today's episode? It became a long one.
Yeah, it became a really long one.
All right. Have a great day, Alexander, and all listeners. See you tomorrow.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
See you.